Radio friends, it's a pleasure to come on air again. We appreciate you, our listeners, and pray that the word you hear will impact upon your life and bring necessary transformation to the glory of God. The essence of these messages is to bring change. If at the end of listening to them, and it does not alter your life, that means you've not taken a decision to do something from the things you hear. I pray and encourage you to take responsibility after hearing a message like this. Today, we are bringing you the word of God, which says, prepare for revival. Prepare for revival. I am targeting the people of God, the people that know God already. Prepare for revival. We are reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he has taken from the tongues from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know it that you are at the brink of ushering in another period of revival in our land. And we plead with you that you will enable us and enable my hearers to prepare for the coming revival, that none of us will miss it any longer. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Prepare for revival. And if there is anything, any singular need of our time in our land, it is a heaven-sent revival. Revival comes at the sovereign and gracious decision of God. It is only God that sends a fresh movement of his spirit among his people. But revival will not come unless it is desired, because it is an inversion from heaven. Revival is an inversion from heaven. So let us start by defining what is revival. It is the restoration of life. In our own context, restoration of divine life, spiritual life, God kind of life. The word is a compound word. The revival is a compound word. Two words in one, and means life again. Re means again. And then vivere is a Latin word which means to live. So revival is restoration of life. Life again. Who needs a revival? People need revival when the life they had in them is now declining. People need revival when the fire they had in them is now dying out. This word revival is used in two senses in the scriptures. Number one, it is used in an emotional sense. When someone is dead emotionally, it can be revived. In Genesis chapter 45, verse 26 and verse 27, the Bible says, And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the cats which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Can you see that? As far as Joseph was concerned, the Bible said his heart stood still. He was unmoved. Could not be touched. He was dead emotionally. But when he saw all that they came back with, the cats, the goats, and he heard the words Joseph had said to his brothers to relate to their father, the Bible says the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. I pray in this season that God will revive your heart. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray that as many as have their heart stood still like that of Jacob previously, they are not touched again. Nothing moves them any longer. May you be revived in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Number two, the word is used in a spiritual sense. Psalm 85 verse 6, the Bible says, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Notice that these people are not dead physically, they are alive, but they need revival. And the psalmist is saying and asking God, will you not revive us again? In Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2, the prophet Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2 says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Our text brings us to Isaiah the prophet. We shall see in this the when of revival, the where of revival, the how, and the why of revival. Let's take one. When? The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, it was a critical time, a time of loss, and a time of great anxiety or concern. Are we not in such a time in our own nation? We are in a critical time, a time of great loss, great anxiety, great concern about the future. Yes, Uzziah accomplished a lot of things in his own time. He started reigning as king at the age of 16 and reigned for 52 years in Judah. His reign was a time of great prosperity and political and militarily and economically. He made progress personally. He was a military genius, inventing weapons of war that made the armies of Judah very effective. He subdued the enemies of Judah, and his fame spread far and wide. But his biography did not end with success, but failure. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26 verse 19 to 23 that Uzziah was a leper. He died a leper. Many years he died, he left a vacuum that caused Isaiah some concern. Isaiah was from a noble family in Judah, and he knew the political implications of Uzziah's death. Some of us are forced to look up only when we lose something or someone dear to us. Isaiah was forced to look up when his earthly king died. And what did he see? He saw the king that never dies, seated on his throne and in full control of the affairs of the world. It was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah received a touch of revival fire. It is when you see your need and are desperate enough that you will position yourself for the torch of revival fire. Is there any other time like this? We are in our nation. We are in a position to seek and receive revival like Isaiah. Where did Isaiah born with revival fire? The Bible says in verse 1, in the temple, the place of sacrifice, the place of prayer, and the place of worship. It is in the temple of God. And the Bible says your body is the temple of God if you are born from above. It is in the temple of God, the body of Christ, the church, that revival fire we born. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, the body of Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19, the Bible says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own. You are not your own. The individual Christian. It is on the basis of sacrifice of Jesus Christ that revival fire we burn. It is in the place of prayer and worship that revival fire we burn. It was in the place of prayer that revival fire came down on the day of Pentecost. In Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 14, The Bible says these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4. The book of Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We read also in Acts chapter 4 verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. A prayerless Christian should not expect revival fire. A prayerless Christian should not expect revival fire. Let's look at how did Isaiah born with revival fire. It came to him in the form of God's purifying power. In Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3 to 7, you notice the process of purification. Number one, a revelation of the awesome holiness of God. You need to have the revelation of the awesome holiness of God, and that will impact on you to change your attitude and your character and the way you see things, even the way you dress. Number two, revelation of the utter sinfulness of God's man. You need to have the utter sinfulness of God's man before God. No person is acceptable. You see the holiness of God. And number three, you see the application of the dynamic purifying power of God. We cannot burn with God's revival until we see the ugliness of our sinfulness in the light of God's awesome holiness. Many Christians feel they are okay morally and spiritually, in spite of the justifiable accusations constantly brought against them by the devil and their guilty consciences. They still feel okay because they are strangers to the holiness of God. Why do we need revival fire? God sends revival fire primarily for his glory and secondarily for the good of the people of whom Christ died. God's revival fire brings salvation, brings deliverance, brings healing, brings health, brings holiness, brings righteousness and joy. That's why the psalmist says, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? That's why in Acts chapter 8 verse 6, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits cried with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Isaiah could not be an effective tool that will bring glory to God until he was poured by God's revival fire. The same thing applies today to us. We cannot be effective tool in the hands of God unless we are poured and receive revival that will make us useful in the hand of God. He could not carry the message of God with impact and effectiveness until he was poured with revival fire. It was after the fire that touched his lips, the coal that touched his lips, and his sins were atoned by God, and he was drafted into his agenda for the people of Judah. Let's begin to close. Those who desire to burn with God's revival must, number one, see their sinfulness in the light of the awesome holiness of God. Number two, they must resent, they must desire less their sinful condition and cry to God for cleansing. And thirdly, they must experience the touch and power of God which will burn and shine in their lives. We need revival in our time. I pray that we prepare for the coming revival. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in your determinate will, you are going to send the revival in our land. And I do pray like the prophet Habakkuk, revive us again. Revive your people. Revive your work so that we might rejoice and we might bring a change in our land. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.